If your food media diet is fueled by HRN, become a monthly donor today. Visit heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Over the past year, we saw a lot of pivots from full service restaurants to delivery only or meal kits and nationwide shipping. But now things are opening up again. Yay. So what about the reverse? What about food businesses that have been operating in a digital space and are looking to go brick and mortar? Well, our guest today is doing just that. With 2 decades of professional culinary experience, Chef Surbhi Sahni brings home cooking traditions to modern Indian cuisine and confections with Tagmo. Before launching Tagmo, Surbhi served as a creative force behind Michelin-starred New York City restaurants Devi in Tulsa and Sar Bistro in Midtown. So excited to have you. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
So tell, I was just saying to you before we started that I think it's so interesting that your business is basically the reverse of what everybody else has been doing for the past year. So you started in this digital online world. So tell our listeners a little bit about what Tagmo does and what you've been doing for the past couple of years.
Well, thank you so much, first of all, for having me. I want to talk, I'm going to reverse back a little bit because the idea for the company started about 10 or 12 years back. And the initial point was where I started a company called Bittersweet NYC, where in that company I was doing wedding cakes, mostly for Indian weddings and desserts. And at some juncture in time, a client who was also a friend asked me to do a box of sweets for them, which I did. And that's what started the line of doing these sweets and gift packaging. And so right before sort of COVID hit, I actually decided to close Bittersweet and start this company called Tagmo, which means Tigris in Bhutanese. And the idea was to do a gift packaging company that was mostly focusing on Indian confections and food gift products. And then, of course, COVID hit, and like I wanted to keep my staff sort of employed. And I started doing home deliveries, but initially did a lot of donations and worked with a lot of mutual aid groups to kind of give food to health workers and also to distribute food to smaller communities that didn't have as much of food available at that time. And then within the group, we had a discussion and we said, why don't we try just to kind of create a little bit of business, also try and do home style meals. That's something that I'd been wanting to do for years, frankly. Like I felt this great need that, you know, of course, I had cooked in so many restaurants over the years. And I know that the food in restaurants is amazing, but like nothing like when you cook at home. And so I really wanted to start cooking at home, doing more home style meals for my clients. And that's what started the home delivery service, where we were doing packaged meals that we were kind of delivering across the city to Connecticut, Queens, Brooklyn, New York. And during that time, I also met two people that are now my business partners that had a store downtown, which was called Made Fresh Daily at that time. And they wanted to convert it into something else. They also own another sushi restaurant, which is like 2 doors down from the current location. And so me and Aditya, who's my business partner right now, went to them and said, why don't we turn this space into an Indian space? Mm-hmm. Also, like downtown, there wasn't any Indian spaces. Right. They were like, yeah, that's a great idea. And of course, like I had my serious inhibitions. I was like, I don't know when people are going to come back into eating in restaurants. But we had two things that we had in our mind. One was, if you actually like really look at not just New York, but really even US, there's really no other South Asian sweets shop that's like a more upscale sweets shop, the kind of things that we see in India quite frequently actually available. So we saw that there was an open market, and we were going to go for doing mostly sweets. So the store itself is going to have sweets in the front when you kind of walk in. And then, yes, we're going to continue because we had these homestyle meals that we've done over the year. And they've been so successful. People have, like, I get emails every week from guests that buy it from me about how amazing they are and how there was a need in the market for someone to kind of start really actually cooking homestyle food. And we're not just like doing the same menu every week. We're focusing on different regions. We are getting the community sort of involved, whether that is women chef or it is queer chefs, so that we start building a platform that's not just talking about the sweets, but also talking about Indian food in general. And what is it that Indians today are eating? So are some of the influences that we've also included are Anglo-Indian food, or we also have done one of the weeks we did Sindhi food, which is more from the Pakistan region. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to really talk about South Asian food and how that's influencing and how it is today.
That's amazing. So it sounds like you were already set up doing your sweets, and then you added in this meal kit and delivery program pretty quickly. So how were you already shipping your sweets nationwide when the pandemic started?
I was already shipping nationwide. Like, I had been doing it for, like, I would say about 6 to 7 years. But okay, I have to say the one thing that did happen in pandemic is, like, I would say my business quadrupled.
Wow.
Last year. In terms of shipment.
And was that home cooks who, how did they discover you? Like, what was the impetus for?
I think a big part of it was, like, we had an article come out in the New York Times about right before Diwali hit, which is our biggest, our biggest festival. And that's when we sell the most product. And we were mentioned in a New York Times article about these sweets that we're making. And that really impacted our sales for sure. But I think also overall, maybe people had more time to look for companies, right? Like, maybe like the sweet store shops were not generally open. And like, we've been really, truly been blessed. You know, people that have like ordered our product have come out and like given us shout outs, have like shared information about them, about us with their friends and family. And so it's been a slow organic growth, even though like it quadrupled. It was like more like people telling other people about our company. Also, like, we had like almost 2 weeks or two to three weeks of a delivery that we had done, especially for the sweets last year. So it was like one person received the box and he wanted to send 10 others.
Right. They're like, oh my God, this is so
amazing.
That's
how business, business should work, right?
Like, yes, that is what you want. Yes, that is true brand ambassador and true, you know, that's what you want, the true organic spread. And then, so tell me, so when you started the meal delivery system, that's obviously very different than like shipping boxes that people are ordering online. It's obviously, those are two different businesses, right? So you have your sweets business that is growing organically. Shout outs in the New York Times. By the way, the New York Times always moves the needle. It's really like the only publication just from our personal business that I've ever seen just like immediately move the needle. So that's a really big deal.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yes, absolutely. Always moves the needle, New York Times.
Yeah. So congratulations on being featured there. That's a big deal. So tell me a little bit, who were the customers for the delivery service and how did you set up, you know, logistically? You're like, okay, I'm shipping, but now I have to, you know, deliver maybe by car, however, to this tri-state area. Tell us a little bit about how that business setup went for you.
So yeah, I think that's a great question. Like, both of these businesses are totally two different businesses. One is more shipping and one is more delivery service. I think it happened very organically. Like, shipments I had been doing already for many years. So I had a sort of an idea, but certainly like this was the first year we actually set up our website and we're working currently on Squarespace and we connected ourselves to ShipStation. So these are all new things that I kind of introduced into the company that I wasn't doing before this. In terms of the delivery thing, that the other thing that was happening is that we also were working, I was working in conjunction in a catering space, and they actually were, and I was helping them also do this other project, which was delivering meals to the elderlies. And so we were doing close to about 20,000 meals in the space where I was cooking as well, supporting them through their own project. So we're sister companies, we just both support each other. And so because of that, I did have people that were already working in the company that were our delivery people for the other business. And so I was able to kind of quickly pull them into doing meal deliveries for my meals as well. And so that worked out for a big advantage because I'm actually based in Yonkers. Like the main, my main kitchen is in Yonkers, and that's pretty far, especially like if you think about how long it takes from Yonkers to Brooklyn. It's really like quite a big. The other advantageous thing for delivery at that time was that there was no traffic. No one was out. Like, I can't tell you, like, we still, like, when we talked, like, Renee and me and other people that were delivering or, like, helping the deliveries and doing all of these things at that time, we say we, like, as much as happy as we are that everything is opening up, like, the traffic was very different back then. it felt like it was non-existent. There was literally, there were days there was nobody on the road.
Yeah, right. For our listeners who are not in New York City, the smog was gone and there was no traffic, which is like unheard of or unseen in New York City.
You could see stars in the night.
Yeah,
did you do that? Like, it was crazy.
I mean,
we were going from Yonkers to Brooklyn in like 25 to 30 minutes. Like, that's unheard of.
Right. It's probably an hour and 20 minutes from now. It's like you can't
easily.
The BQE, it's like you can't just go anywhere for less than an hour. So
logistically, those were the two logical things that like really helped. But then also, like, I feel the support for the business on both of those end was very different. One's an online business, which was working more through social media. It was more working through people receiving the boxes. The other part of the business that was there, I have actually been cooking in the city for close to about 20, 22 years. And so all the clients, a majority of the clients, 80% of the clients were clients that I have worked with. I've either done their weddings or their bar mitzvahs, or I've done their friend's wedding. And everyone kind of, the first time that they received, I was so shocked. Like, the first newsletter that went out and our first delivery was for 40 orders.
Wow.
I never thought like we could do that.
That's amazing. It means your community, you know, obviously really loves what you do and your cooking. And so how are you continuing to do the meal kits and the deliveries, or are you scaling that back now that things are reopening and traffic has returned and is unrelenting?
I don't know. Like, we're in quandary right now about it. Mm-hmm. It certainly is impacting our business. But because we also started, the other thing that we started was that we started freezing and shipping some of our meals. So like, we are currently shipping to Dallas, California, and Boston quite a bit. Because we have friends or customers that are buying it from there. And so we're hoping for at least for some time to continue on. But then I'm sure, like, once the restaurant is open, we might have a week or so slag in between just to kind of get used to getting that one operation up and running and then catch up with everything else.
And right now, where are you producing everything? Are you, you're producing and shipping and delivering from, you said, is it like a commissary
Yonkers.
Kitchen?
Yeah, from a commissary kitchen in Yonkers.
It's a shared space?
Shared space, yes.
And you said they helped with, do you want to shout them out? Because it's not that for maybe.
Yes, it was first. It's a shared space with SARC catering now called as Hemant Mathur Catering. And of course, we're very grateful for all the support that they have given us in this coming year, this past 1.5 years, because we couldn't have done it without them for sure.
And you guys were sharing the same delivery drivers, or were you doing most of the deliveries?
For some time. Only in the beginning, like for the first 2 or 3 months. And then as everything started opening up, like, our operations right now are completely separate. we also still do like events together. You know, we support each other's business in whichever way we can.
Right. Mm-hmm. So now demand is there and you are shipping your sweets and you have your meal kits and, or your meal deliveries, excuse me. And so you mentioned you met during the pandemic, your business partners for your brick and mortar space. So tell us a little bit about how you met them and where you are right now in the process.
So, my first business partner, is Aditya Malhotra, who I met, before the pandemic, because we were already in the midst of like doing this business. And I met him through actually doing, someone had reached out and said that there was a family looking for someone to do home cooked meals for them. And I was for about 3 years or 4 years back thinking and contemplating like, what space do I want to be in? And I was contemplating the kind of business I want to be doing. And a big part of me wanted to do food that was more familiar to me, food that was closer to my heart. And like, of course, like, I mean, restaurant food that I had done was amazing and evolved and like was just such, has been such an exciting journey for me. But I truly wanted to explore a different side of my life and things that I kind of grew up with on a daily basis. And so like when I heard that there was a family looking, I was like, yeah, I want to try it and see if this works. And so I was already doing this for Aditya at that time. And we kind of met and I actually also pitched him the idea of sweets. And I said, listen, I'm doing this part-time right now to just kind of try some new things out. But like truly my business idea is to do the suite. And that's when he invested into the company. And then I met the two new business partners, Renee and Victor, through Adi. Adi's friends with Victor. And that's how we kind of all kind of got together. The four of us as a group and now are trying to open a space in downtown Manhattan together.
So tell us a little bit about the space. So it's in South Street Seaport, and it sounds like it was already a restaurant before you all took it over.
Yes. So it was a space that was in South Street Seaport. It was called Made Fresh Deli. It was like a sandwiches sort of a space. And I remember walking into the space the first time, and you know how you have places that you see, you're like, oh my God, this place is so beautiful. I love the energy of the space. I want to be in this space on a daily basis. It doesn't happen all the time, you know? And I remember walking into that space and saying, oh my God, I love this space. And honestly, I was like, I had told Adi, like, I don't want to open a storefront because I had opened so many restaurants in my life. And I knew how the pandemic was kind of working out. And I was like, I don't know if I really want to be opening another restaurant space. But I truly think like it was sort of, I don't know if you want to call it karmic or if you want to call it like I really connected with the location that I was like, yeah, I want to open a place here. And, you know, the place itself is going to have, in the front is going to have like a sweet shop where we're going to have sweets and like some, the Indians are also known for their snack food, which is more than just chips. It's like called namkeen, which has different things like, you know, we would do like masala nuts in there. We would do like things like chakli that is made with lentil flour. We would do like matti that is like a whole wheat flour cracker. And things that we kind of grew up eating like that were like, you know, like, in India, we would go to the corner sweet shop and like he would have all of these things and you would buy it from him. So I want to kind of create that experience, but also like those sweet shops sometimes would have a small eating section where they did like mostly they did like food like that was more like small bite size, like more snacky food where you would get things like samosa and papri chaat and like aloo tikki. So I'm doing a version of that. I'm like, but I want to do home style food or home food. So I'm going to stay within the same sort of focus and do foods like do like small plates that if you came to my house, what is it that I would serve to you? And that's the sort of direction I'm kind of going with the meals that are available at the restaurant. And then we will continue with the idea of changing like four or five dishes on a bi-weekly or weekly basis, where we would focus on either on different regions, like really talk about what's the strength of that region, why is this dish sort of different, and also continue our collaboration with other women chefs or other food writers from the Indian diaspora or from the Caribbean diaspora. Like, for example, next month, we are focusing on a Caribbean chef, Raman Ganeshraman, and like talking about the experience of Indians moving to Trinidad and what has that done and like how does their food change and evolve. So we're going to continue on with that because I think that's a unique thing that we're doing that no other restaurant and that's Indian is doing right now.
That is true. There's a lot of Indian people who live in the Caribbean, and I think you don't hear about it or hear how that's influenced their food and what people eat and making that known to Americans. It's a super interesting angle. And for the restaurant, I can understand why you would fall in love with like a space on Front Street. So for our listeners who are not based in New York and haven't been in Seaport, Front Street is this like, it looks like a piece of time. It's right. It's like a little time capsule.
It is.
Cobblestone Street.
Oh my God. So beautiful. And like you walk down and like, you can just literally see the entire Manhattan behind you. You're like, I feel like this is why like I came to the US, like whatever, 20 something years ago when you stand there. And the funny thing is, before I forget, so about 20 years back, I started, my first job was at Between the Bread, a small catering company. And after that, my second job was at a place called Table Tales. It was a women-owned company by Grace. And she turned into my mentor for a very long time. And literally her store is around the corner. I mean, it's no longer there but because of a hurricane. But like her store is around the corner. So for me, it was even more important. I'm like, wow, life goes a full circle. Here I am 20 years later, like opening a store not far from my mentor.
Mm-hmm. It's full circle. Yeah, I love that. How it all comes full circle like that. So it was already a restaurant, and where are you guys in the building process? When do you think you'll get open? And has there been any major surprises during this opening process?
So a lot of surprises and a lot of changes. But we are almost as of done. We actually started the process last year. So it has taken us a very long time to even get the building's permit and like all of those things kind of done and get them ready and up and running. So currently we're hoping that, what are we, on July 27th? So maybe somewhere mid-August, early September, we should be open. Hopefully, fingers crossed. I'm not Jenny. You know how like restaurants are.
I mean, it's still pretty. I know. If you open within 3 months of when you thought you would, you're on time. I think for all intents and purposes, that's the benchmark and the goalpost.
Yes.
I love it. And did this restaurant close, the previous version closed before COVID, I assume? So is there like a lot of things?
It was still operating like on Saturdays and Sundays. They have a lot of loyal clientele in the neighborhood. And like, I think that's one of our strengths is because my business partners own another restaurant around the corner. So they know the community and they've been around there for about close to 18 something years now. So it's not like a new restaurant that just opened. And like that kind of creates a sense of like local following that people are really in the community are excited that we're doing this venture. And that's what we want. We want people that are living, that are our neighbors to come out and support us more than anything. Of course, the tourists and also like we want to be a destination spot, like the go-to Indian restaurant in New York City.
I love that. And I mean, there's nothing like that down where you are going. So I think that's a, it's a perfect spot. Are you going to deliver to the Lower East Side? Cause that's where my office is.
Absolutely. Yes.
And then yes. Once you open the new space, are you, will you be shifting? Will you let go of the commissary kitchen and everything will be done out of this space, or will you need to do both?
No, we're going to continue with the commissary space because my kitchen is on the small side. And even after waiting for all of this permits and stuff like that, we're not a gas kitchen, we're an electric kitchen. So I will need a support system, some sort on the back end, but we're going to continue doing some part of the suites from the commissary kitchen.
From the commissary. Cool.
It's a bigger project. You know what I mean? Like it can't be endured from a small location.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was curious how you were planning to, you know, so I guess that leads into my next question. So how are you planning to sort of resource both of them now? Your time will be split. What is that going to look like for you?
Well, I'm hoping that I'm going to find a head chef that is going to help me operate this location because I certainly cannot be in both the places. And I have done concepts like this before where some basic sauces or certain things are being made in a larger space and then either it's transported or frozen and transported and stuff like that. And then, of course, like a lot of the other stuff, as much as possible, will be made in the location itself. Also, the thing for me, I kind of focus on very simple foods, right? Like in the sense that I feel a lot of the times people have this view that Indian food is really complicated and it's multi-layered and it is all of those things. But there are dishes that are very simple and equally delicious that don't require that many, you know, it doesn't require that many spices or that many things. And so the idea when you start doing the food that is more familiar to me, more close to my heart, is food that I kind of cook on a daily basis. And that's what I want to bring to the table over there. And I think that I should be able to do that even if I have two locations. It's just a matter of finding the right balance and the right menu.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously lots of people scale businesses, so, you know, it's not a unique problem to have to find the right people and figure it out.
Yes.
And just speaking of your people, you know, when I was looking at your website and your bio and hearing about, you know, your experience, and I know that hiring, you know, women of color and queer folks has been really important to your business and at the forefront. So tell me a little bit about how you use this practice as you expand your team and any advice for other smaller food businesses that are looking to recruit a more diverse and equitable and inclusive workforce.
So for me, I start reaching out to women-based organizations because I feel like that's a skill set that's very unique, especially for the South Asian community. Women are amazing chefs, and I feel the way women cook South Asian food is very different from the way men cook South Asian food. So for me, that's an easy way of like reaching out and finding the community or membership that might be interested. So we would reach out to certain organizations like Sakhi and Sapna that we have, both of the organizations that we've worked with before, and see if they have members that might be interested in working with us. We do the same for queer chefs, like really, truly, like looking at different websites that have like women on their forefront. One of them is Equity for All. Am I right, Jenny? Am I saying the right one?
Equity for All. It sounds familiar.
Yeah. And why am I? I'm not remembering the correct one. I think that's what it's called. And you can go on it and there are women in every industry that you can find. And so that's a great way of like reaching out to the community, whether that's queer community or women community. You really have to like put your, you know, you really have to go a little bit out of your way to find them, but there are certainly people that you can find that will come out and support you. And, you know, honestly, at the end of it, like, you know, like any business, I feel like even in food business, anyone that you employ should be wanting to be part of your family, and would you should feel like you both can work with each other on the long run, you know, and it's all about like building that relationship with the person, making them feel like you want them to be there, because that's the only way that you can grow a business. Not you yourself cannot just do everything. It's not possible. Like I would not be able to do everything that I do if I didn't have a great bandwagon of people right behind me, supporting me and being there for me and actually showing up. And like, you know, they do what they do really well, and I'm very grateful for it. And, you know, I hope I answered the question.
No, that was perfect. Yeah. I mean, it's all about having people who are enthusiastic about your business and believe in the vision and mm-hmm. you know, forming a good relationship. I 100% agree.
And also like making them feel like, you know, like I think like sometimes like also like, you know, not holding on to too much power, giving them the power to make certain decisions and like making them feel like they are, for me, not, it's not that I'm making them feel, they are really important for me. And like, that's a feeling that they get when they come and talk to me and then they're part of like my workflows on a daily basis. And I'm actually truly, really grateful that they're there with me. Really.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the amount of things I've learned from our team members, it's so fun. It's like, you think right. being a boss is telling people what to do. It's not. It's yeah. like having a collaborative relationship where you really learn from each other. And mm-hmm. like the amount of things I've learned from our team is just like unbelievable. I never stop learning from them.
Yeah.
So totally agree.
Hey, this is Hannah, HRN's program manager. You may have noticed that we have a whole new look. We also launched a new website that's going to make your listening easier and more enjoyable than ever before. HRN is the original food podcast network. And as we enter a new chapter in our 12-year history, I want to ask you to invest in HRN for the long haul. If you rely on this show to fuel your food media diet, become a monthly sustaining member today. Our members keep the voice of America's food movement alive and kicking. Your donations support this podcast along with 40 other shows on Heritage Radio Network. Your contribution helps give HRN the security we need to stay on the airwaves throughout the pandemic, and your continued support is allowing us to reopen our studio. Plus, we like to give our regular members special treatment. So sign up to become a monthly donor and get access to our secret menu. We've gathered together exclusive discounts and offers from some of your favorite food and beverage brands. So you get to enjoy insider pricing on goods that will ship right to your door. Join our community of monthly donors, and special deals will come your way throughout the summer. So can you make a gift of $5 or $10 a month? It'll show me and our whole team at HRN how much this podcast and food radio in general means to you. Become a monthly sustaining member today at heritageradionetwork.org/donate.
Cool. We like to do a little lightning round. So sort of, we basically ask the same people all of these questions every show, and they're meant to be, you know, pretty quick little answers. So let's kick it off with, what's your favorite, we usually say menu item, but it could be, what's your favorite, you know, sweet, or what's your favorite meal delivery that you've done recently?
Okay. Those are not that difficult. They are. Well, with my sweets, I feel a little bit scared because I feel like as if almost my sweets can hear me and they are all my favorite child.
I know it's a little unfair of a question.
Unfair, but I think of the ones that I have just, of course, I'm always developing new sweets and new products. Of the one that I recently developed for the holidays was a salty pecan burfi, and it was really unusual because I don't know if I have the time to kind of get on to the history of it, but I have a friend who used to make these salty pecans, Shuna Fish Diet, and I don't know if she's hearing this, but and like I reached out to them and I was like, I want to make this sweet, and she was like, why don't you make it? Why don't you? Like, I think she gave me a couple of ideas to. It's like, wow, like I'm gonna take my caramel barfi and I'm gonna take this pecan idea and pull it together, and it's brilliant sweet. I love that sweet. In terms of food, so two delivery services right off the bat pop into my head. One was last week I made a champaran chicken, which I swear I'm like still drooling over it, and I'm hoping that it was in my fridge right now. It was a very simple dish where, and unlike, you know, Indian food is all about building flavors, about you add your onions, you add your spices, you add like your tomatoes, you add like, you know, like you just build one thing over the other. This was a very different recipe where you basically throw all the ingredients together in a pot, put it on a very small, slow flame, let it smoke for a few minutes, and then let 45 minutes, your chicken curry is ready. It was spectacular. It was like an amazing, amazing dish to make. And it was very new for me to go in that direction to kind of create that sort of a smoky space, some smoky like sort of chicken. The other one was of Sindhi cuisine that I just did. Was an entire meal which was done in collaboration with Barka Kartos, where we explored the idea of Sindhi food, which is more in Pakistan. Also because like my grandparents were from Pakistan, and I wanted to see what would that food be like if they were alive, or if I would have ever eaten my grandmother's cooking, which I unfortunately didn't. So I made a few dishes like Sindhi curry and Sai Bhaji, and like we did like masala stuffed pindi, which was just so amazing and unusual. And it was really fun to collaborate also with Barka, who was very loving and like has turned into a great friend. So those two like kind of popped to me right away.
Mm-hmm. Sounds amazing. And now I'm hungry. I didn't eat lunch yet. So it's like almost 3 o'clock. And tell me, what is your most ordered menu item or delivery item?
Oh my God. I don't think that is there really, because I feel like because we change our menus on a weekly basis, and because we've truly, except for maybe a few dishes, we really have, I mean, we're now hitting our 60th week.
Oh my God.
And 60. Like, yeah, we're hitting our 60th week very soon. Like I think for Independence Day, that week of the, whatever, the Indian Independence Day is the 60th week or right before that. So we have not repeated most of our dishes. It's a tough one. Like I think people order because they enjoy our food and they keep coming back because it's so good.
Just want to keep, right. Yeah. It doesn't matter what's on the menu. They just have trust and faith. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's also like, I think like what the strength of it is that like, I've had people reach out to me and say like, especially during the COVID time where they were not able to travel or go anywhere. I've had people reach out to me and say like, oh my God, you've taken us on a journey through India. Yeah, which is unusual to kind of see, like, especially like, because, you know, like you can go to an Indian restaurant where they serve just Andhra food, or they just serve like Kashmiri food, or they just serve like Kerala food. Certainly those exist. Right. But to have one company kind of create this and like week by week kind of talk about the differences in the cuisine and like create these dishes and like really keep it very homestyle is very unusual.
I'm subscribing. I'm like, I want the journey through India, right? What has been your best business resource as you've built your business over the years?
Best business resource.
Could be a person, a podcast, a book.
I think my director for communications has been an amazing, Leah Kurtz, I'm going to do a shout out for them, has been an amazing resource for me and have like really helped me bring the vision of what I'm thinking come together. And of course, my business partners, right? Like they've been there and supported me through this. Leah also, because, you know, they are able to see through what is it that I'm envisioning, whether it is, what is it that I actually want to say, but also like right now we're going through the experience of rebranding and like We're creating a new visual. We're creating new design for the front. Like all of those things that are so important. They've been such an important part of, like, they've been there with me even when no one else was there. So I think they've been very important that way. And my business partners, Adi, for like kind of believing in me and like, you know, just investing in me more than anything else when I was just like, I didn't know what was going to happen, especially when COVID hit us. Oh my God. Now I'm thinking there are so many, my partner, Piali, I've had a business coach, Rebecca Maxwell, that's been very supportive and helpful in helping me strategize and like really think through to break out my business into smaller compartment, because I can be such a larger vision person sometimes that like really breaking it down into smaller compartment gets a little bit difficult. Regina, who's my assistant, I'm going to keep going. Anu, who's doing my marketing. I'm one of those, like, you know, like those, what are those awards, Grammy awards?
The Oscar speech, right, where they're like.
They start pulling my mic from me. So everybody, Seema, who cooks with me on a daily basis, Lugna, who used to be there, who I miss, it's just so many, everybody, really.
Yeah, your team, yeah.
My team, yes.
Perfect. Awesome. All right, well, the other thing we like to do on the show before we wrap up is to shout out any opening soon announcements. So I know your business is hopefully coming in August.
Yes.
And are there any other friends or colleagues or businesses you want to shout out for opening or coming soon or reopening maybe recently?
So I think like two businesses that are more online on the online platform, because truly my business belongs on both platforms, online as well as storefront. So two businesses that I'm excited to collaborate with and I think are amazing. One is Madhu Chocolates, that is doing their products with spices. The other one is Sach Paneer, which is one of the first sort of paneer companies to launch nationwide and are doing a fabulous job with their paneer. And so is Madhu Chocolates, delicious, amazing chocolates. And I'm hoping to kind of collaborate and do some work with them as well. And then there is a store opening, which is going to like focus on chai, called the Chai Box. And then there is another company called Donna that I think are my few companies that I would mention right here.
Awesome. We'll definitely check all of those out. So tell everybody where we can find you on social and where and what the address is of the physical store and your website too.
Sure. So if you were looking for our website, we're on tagmotreats.com. Social media handles are also tagmotreats. If you want to follow me, it's Sahani Serbi. If you want to get any food or anything from us, everything is, and currently the sweets as well as the food are all available on the website, tagmotreats.com. And the store is going to be 226 Front Street, New York, New York. And I would be so excited if you come and tell me you heard this podcast and you wanted to come and try. I promise you a couple of free sweets because you heard this podcast. Thank you so much for having me, Jenny.
I love it. Free sweets for listening. Yes. This is a first. That is an opening soon first. So listeners, here's your payback.
Hey, listen. I'll tell you, like in Indian tradition, the first thing that you serve when your guests come home is sweets. So I can
that.
Like not let go for them to listen to me talk about my life and about what I'm doing. And I'd be so excited if everyone stops in. And Jenny, I know you are going to, definitely.
I'm coming for lunch all the time as soon as you're open on French Street.
Done and done.
And I like that. Like one of my life mottos is eat dessert first. So yeah, we're kindred spirits there. You guys can follow us at Tillit NYC or at We Are Opening Soon on the gram. And you can check out recaps of all of our episodes on our website at tillitnyc.com. Serbi, it was such a pleasure chatting with you. Congrats on the upcoming opening and can't wait to meet you in real life.
Same here. I look forward to it. Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Opening Soon is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter, enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org, and connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You could also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the heart at the top right of our homepage. And thanks for listening.